God of Office of Sukkot and the God of Meaning. Rashi and Daf Ches in Makis interprets in the Gemara that not only is it a mitzvah to sit in the Sukkot during the 7 or 8 days of Sukkot, even in the Kusvah, sit in the Sukkot for 8 days, it's also a mitzvah to build the Sukkot. Asiyas HaSukkot is also there. How could that possibly be a mitzvah? You know that Asiyas HaSukkot is not a mitzvah? So the Nesiv has in his commentary on the Shultas a big Kiddush based on this Rashi. We have mitzvahs in the Torah. Now we have what we call Hechsher mitzvah. For example, when you buy the lulav, that's a Hechsher mitzvah. When you buy the estrid, when you build the sukkah, when you prepare your mitzvah, when you get everything ready, that's a Hechsher mitzvah. So there, within the area of Hechsher mitzvah, the Nesiv distinguishes between a Hechsher mitzvah aksuva b'Torah and a Hechsher mitzvah shein aksuva b'Torah. Hechsher mitzvah aksuva b'Torah, for example, is asiyas hasukkah. Because the Gemara comments on the pasuk Chagas Sukkos Tasa L'Chashivas Yomim, Vyas B'chon Negronachom V'Yikvecha, that although the pasuk shat in the pasuk is Chag HaSukkos Tasa L'Chashivas Yomim, you should celebrate the holiday of Sukkos Shivas Yomim, you should celebrate 7 days. At what time of the year, Vyas B'chon Negronachom V'Yikvecha, at that season of the year, when you're gathering in the food, Nigarnacha from your from the tour. The garden is the place where you fill the tour. From the background from the pit where you have the wine. So although that's the traditional mikvah, the Gemara Darshan is another pshat in the pasuk that you leave out the word chag for a moment. So the Gemara Darshan is another level of interpretation. Sukkah is possible, you should construct the sukkah. Shivas Yamim should be strong enough, sturdy enough to last for 7 days. That's via sukkah haruya l'chol shiva. And the sukkah should be constructed. Sukkah should be constructed means there's a dinatas of lemon osing on the top. The sukkah should be constructed from the ground upon the yikvecho, from the stuff. Not that you should celebrate sukkah at the season of the year when you gather in the grain or the wine. Rather, you should construct the sukkah with the psalmist from the egg left over. Straw, but with the branches that are left over after taking off the grapes from the branches and after taking out the kernels of grain from the tzvua. So the only problem is in this new level of interpretation in the pasuk, what do you do with the word chag? The pasuk would read fine if it would say sukkah tasa l'chol, you should construct the sukkah shivas yamim, sturdy enough to last for 7 days. You should construct the with pasuk b'chol migdon ha'chol, but the word chag is in the way. So it's more darshan, no. Chag ha'sukkah means that the chag means a korban chagiga. Chag in Hebrew doesn't mean a holiday. I mean, biblical Hebrew. Chag today means any holiday. You have a Chag HaSmicha, you have a Chag Torin, you have a Chag Torin. Chag is called Chag Torin, a holiday of the festival of life. But in biblical Hebrew, the word Chag means a Yom Tov on which you offer a Korban Chagiga. That's why the Ramos says in Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Sukkos that on Shmini Atzeres you should say Yom HaShmini Chag HaAtzeres Azeh, because there's no Korban Chagiga offered on Shmini Atzeres. And the davening should be spoken in a biblical Hebrew. The tefillah should be in a biblical Hebrew. That's what the Ramos says. Others disagree. The Vilna Gaon disagrees. He says that Rashi intends to say Yom HaShmini Chag HaAtzeres Azeh. It's good enough for Rashi intends, good enough for us. Either Rambam is right that it's only a Yom Tov on which you bring a Korban Chagiga. So he says you do bring a Korban Chagiga on HaShmini HaAtzeres. It doesn't have its own Korban Chagiga, but you can bring Chagiga as a Tashlom and for Sukkah. The deal is that if you didn't bring the Korban Chagiga on the first 7 days of Sukkot, you can still offer the Sukkot to get Chagiga on HaShmini HaAtzeres. That's what the Vilna Gaon says, that the Nusach that printed in the Siddur is okay. We say Yom HaShmini Chag HaAtzeres Azeh, but the Ramah picks on this nusach and he doesn't like it because he finds that Shmini HaAtzeres is not called a chag. The word chag means a yontif on which you bring a korban chagiga, and the original word chag means the korban chagiga. So the Gemara comments on this pasuk: Sukkos Tasaloch Shivas Yomim. We should construct the sukkah that should be stirred enough to last for 7 days, and the sukkah is called chag. Chag and sukkah is hyphenated, but the sukkah is sukkah shlachag, ma chagige, just like a korban chagige is asura bahano, it's a korban, and if one would be nana from the korban, he would be violating Elisa Me'ilah. So too the Gemara says the sukkah is asura bahano, called shiva. If the sukkah is over, so it's no longer hooked to the mitzvah, so you can do whatever you want with the schach. But during the 7 days of sukkah, the sukkah is hooked to the mitzvah. So that's the Gemara's new pshat in that pasuk. That although the pshuta shalmikah means Chag HaSukkos Tasa L'Chol, you should celebrate the holiday of Sukkot for a period of 7 days during that time of the year when you're gathering the stuff from the farm, at the end of the summer season, in other words, in the autumn and the fall. The Gemara has another level of interpretation, the drasha, that it refers to constructing the sukkah. So the Nitziv says, according to the drasha's Chachamim, this pasuk is telling us that asiyas hasukkah has a special status, not the same as buying the sukkah, not the same as buying a lulav. Buying a lulav is not mentioned in the Chumash. It doesn't say. I remember one year, sukkahs fell out on a Monday. Is that possible? Sukkahs fell out on a Monday. And I remember one of the fellows who was selling a sregen put an advertisement in the Anglo-Jewish newspaper that everybody should come to his shop on Sunday and have sukkahs and buy their service. They put a little kachlo lechem by Yom HaRishon. Should buy your excursion on Sunday. Yeshiva guys are tying stuff, the kudus and stuff. Cute advertised. Very cute, no? It's better than the PR stuff that they put out. So there is no drasha that purchasing the lulav and the esrig, that's not mentioned in the Chumash. It doesn't say you should buy it. It's understood if you won't buy it, you won't have a lulav and esrig. It doesn't say you have to buy this stuff. It's understood if you don't buy it, you won't have it. It doesn't say you have to buy a talis. It's understood. If you don't buy tefillin, you won't have it. But asiyas hasukkah is mentioned in the Chumash. Or the ksivas hamezuzah. Or ksav tom hamezuzah is based on written in the Torah, you should write it. If I write a mezuzah and I don't put it on the door, I don't have the mitzvah. The mitzvah is putting it on the door. And yet, the writing of the mezuzah is mentioned explicitly in the Chumash. Or ksav tom hamezuzah. Or the tying of the strings of the tzitzis onto the garment. That says, how does it say in the Torah? The mitzvah is not v'yosel. If a guy ties his chutin, a fellow ties his tzitzis onto the garment and he doesn't wear the garment, it's not yetzer mitzvah. It's only yetzer mitzvah when he wears the garment. He ties the tzitzis onto the beggar, tying the strings onto the garment, is really only a heksha mitzvah, but it's a heksha mitzvah hakosah b'tor. So the Nitziv claims, based on this Rashi in Makkos, that says in an hour, because we're learning this year. Those who can't tell. Based on the shiurim. So Rashi happens to learn in Makkos Daf Chesem and Aleph that Asiyas HaSukkah is a Hechshem Mitzvah HaKosav HaTorah, and therefore it has a special status. So Rashi comments, what is a special status? That we say Mitzvah Boy, Yosem B'Bishlucha, that's what the Nitziv points out on this Rashi. Whenever you have a Hechshem Mitzvah HaKosav HaTorah, it has a special status over and above a different Hechshem Mitzvah. Stop buying the Skacha, buying the Lula, then you don't say Mitzvah Boy, Yosem B'Bishlucha. But asiyas hasukkah, putting the schach up on top of the sukkah, then the Nitziv points out the Rashi on Chesem and Aleph that you apply mitzvah bel yezv and mishluch. Then the Nitziv has a few other nachkinimus of dinah. Just the schach. The dinah sukkah stasalach tasav lemon osuri only refers to the schach. Doesn't refer to the fanus. The question is the chagas sukkah, so the sukkah shel chagigim, the sukkah is also b'hanoch kol shivo. So that's a machloek is the Rambam and the Rosh. The Rambam says that the whole sukkah is also b'hanoch kol shivo, not only the schach, the tfanis as well. And the Rosh disagrees with the Rambam. He doesn't understand why should I say that the tfanis are hooked to the mitzvah. So that whole pasuk sukkah is pasulach shiva siyamim and so on, etc. only refers to schach. Pasuk lemon also shiva siyamim should be sturdy enough. The osbuchos should be made from cells growing the yekev. All the dinim in that pasuk only refer to the staff. Nothing that refers to the tzvanis. So why should it look to the tzvanis and refer to the tzvanis? No. The Rambam is a problem with the Rambam. Rav Chaim has a whole piece on the Rambam. Why does the Rambam hold that even the tzvanis are hooked to the tzvanis? It's a different question. But the pasuk only refers to the staff. The mitzvah is asiyas haschach. The staff should be put out by the person himself. But the Nitziv points out these things, that a Hechshem Mitzvah, Kosev HaTorah, he points out has four milas. With respect to four halachas, we give it a semi-status of a mitzvah. Status of a semi-mitzvah. One is that you say mitzvah by Yosef and B'shluchai. Secondly, he says there is an opinion in Yerushalmi that the Babli doesn't hold like. When you sit in the sukkah, you say, Shekhar Hashanah, mitzvah is mitzvah, Oleshe Basuk. When you construct your sukkah, do you recite any bracha? So the Gemara says, in sukkah, you recite a bracha Shechianu. Why not? If I build a new house, I say Shechianu. Or I say, Hakonet Bayis Chodesh. Hakonet Beget Chodesh, you say Shechianu. If you make a new Beget, you say Shechianu. If you build your own house, you say Shechianu. Normally, a guy doesn't build his own house, he's not a constructor. But if I built my own sukkah, then I say Shechianu. If I make a dog house, or if I buy underwear, then you don't say Shechianu. But if you buy a sukkah, that's considered like buying a chashava house, even though it's a tiny little hut that you hardly use at all, but that's considered a shibis. Because you use it for the mitzvah, that's considered a Hakonet Bayis Chodesh. So the Gemara speaks of saying Shechianu for the Asiyas HaSukkah. The Gemara says, Mikra, then you should really say Shachyanu when you construct your sukkah. If you're making your own sukkah, if I make a sukkah for somebody else, so then he should say Shachyanu. Whoever the balabas of the sukkah is, whoever the owner is, should really say Shachyanu, like kind of by his kodosh. But the Gemara says that our practice is that we say the Shachyanu on the Asiyas HaSukkah until we say the Kiddush on Yontif at night, and then the Shachyanu that we say on Yontif and on the mitzvah of Yeshiva Sukkah. Yeshiva Sukkah, the mitzvah comes from year to year. So whenever you do a mitzvah that comes from Mizman, from year to year, you say Shachyanu on the mitzvah. So we save the Shachyanu for the Asiyas HaSukkah until the time that we recite Kiddush to be Misarved Alakos. So Lamaisa, we don't say the Shachyanu B'Shas Asiyas HaSukkah, even though we're making our own Sukkah. Do you say any other bracha on Asiyas HaSukkah? So the Bavli doesn't quote any bracha at all, just Shachyanu, and we say the Shachyanu till Kiddush. But Tosfos quotes the Yerushalmi, that Yerushalmi says you do say a bracha. Say a bracha, Shekhidushan, and the Tosfos Mitzivanu, Al Asiyas HaSukkah. And then, of course, Tosfos says we don't pass like that because the Bavli holds not so. There is the opinion of the Yerushalmi is alluded to in the Bavli in another context. The Gemara in Menachos in Perakat Chelis quotes that there was an opinion that when you tie the strings of the tzitzis onto the garment, you say bracha shekereshon and tzvasit zivanu, not lehisatek b'tzitzis and not al mitzvah tzitzis, but you rather say the bracha al asiyas tzitzis. And then the Bavli says we don't pass like that. That the only time you say a bracha mitzvah is when it's gemar mitzvah, when you're doing the kima mitzvah actually, the actual kima mitzvah. But if you're only doing the Hershem Mitzvah, even though the Hershem Mitzvah is passed by Torah, the Torah speaks of Asiyas HaTzitzis. So the Torah speaks of Asiyas HaSukkah, Anochas HaSkav. Nevertheless, you don't recite any bracha on the Hershem Mitzvah. So the Mitzvah points out that there is an opinion. There is an opinion in the Bavli B'negiyat HaTzitzis, and the Rishalmi has a B'negiyat Asiyas HaSukkah, that the Hershem Mitzvah, passed by Torah, has the status of a semi-mitzvah B'negiyat to this prat, that you say Brichas HaMitzvah as well. We don't accept that. Then in the same point, there's a third of communion. No, the Gemara says explicitly, you don't say the bracha al asiyas at tzitzis b'shas asiyah until you put on the tzitzis. And then you say, we hisat the tzitzis, or al mitzvah tzitzis.
I have to mention that, going back to the first
one,
I have to mention that
I'm not missing
the
Torah,
saying it's not mitzvah yom
right, preparing for Shabbos is the mitzvah, that's not a Hashem mitzvah. That is a mitzvah itself. No, waiting Shabbos is the eating the food on Shabbos. And both Shabbos are Shabbos. 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 Are the two mitzvahs that are mentioned in Yeshayah. The Rabbi writes, there are four mitzvahs on Shabbos. Kibbut v'yoneh, gam v'dibri kavoh, and the pasuk in Yeshayah. Zachar v'shamer are the two that are written in the pasuk. So what is the basic thing, kibbut v'yoneh? So the Zohar Gaon explains in Hilchos Yamtes in the Bir Agor that Ode means enjoyment on Shabbos. It could mean the half on the time in advance of Shabbos. So cooking the food on Erev Shabbos is the actual means. Getting married is probably Hashem Mitzvah Kosma, but either it's Hashem Mitzvah, it's an actual mitzvah. The Ramam Shikha, the getting married is an actual mitzvah. It's a separate mitzvah. It's very good if he's one mitzvah. And getting married is a different mitzvah, even if a guy's not going to have any children. It's still a mitzvah. He's able to get married. And even according to the Rosh, getting married just a Hashem mitzvah, but still a Hashem mitzvah on whatever you want. I just said the Vilna Goyen. Vilna Goyen says that this is the Chinuch and Kibbutz the end. But anyway, the enjoyment on Shabbos and Yom Kippur is the Hakhon is done in advance of Shabbos. That's what Vilna Goyen said. You can say other things. Or Hashulchan has a different house. Slightly different from the way you said. So Hashulchan, I think, says that Oyeg means physical pleasure and Kibbutz means the atmosphere, the spiritual atmosphere at the Amishah. Different distinction. This is what the Birag was. And it still gives another tunaf kaminis ladina between a hechshem mitzvah kos b'atayr and a hechshem mitzvah sheni kos b'atayr. He gives another naf kaminis with respect to the tlal of halisit b'mitzvah patam and amitzvah. The Gemara says in Sukkah that kosvi sporen tefillin and mezuzahs. A sefer who's busy writing sefer Torah, or one who's tying tzitzis onto garments, we would apply the tlal of halisit b'mitzvah patam and amitzvah. So he wouldn't have to go get involved in other mitzvahs. Doesn't have to be mafsik for davening. Strange. Busy doing this, he doesn't have to go be mastered for it. So the question is why? But he's not doing any mitzvah. Okay, the mitzvah to sit and write film, he gets paid for that. The mitzvah to tie, it's only hechshem mitzvah, it's not a mitzvah. So So the Nesiv claims that since Asiyah Satzitzis in Siva Satfilin is a Hechshe Mitzvah HaKosuv Batera, because it says Hosavtam al Mezuzos, it says Yosa Lehem Tzitzis, therefore it has the status of a semi-mitzvah. With respect to the Klal of Oisik Mitzvah Potam Na Mitzvah, we declare the Kosvei Svar and Tfilin and Mezuzos, and those are tied Tzitzis also as an Oisik Mitzvah. That's what the Nesiv says. Kosvei Tfilin, yeah. Even though it only says in the Chumash Uchsavtam al Mezuzos, it only speaks about Siva's Mezuzos, so he patches that up, because the Gemara says that Svar and Tfilin and Mezuzos all have the same din. There's some kind of a hekesh that gives them all the same status. Because the Gemara says in Gittin from Ham and Beis that an Isha cannot write Sefer Torah Tfilin on Mezuzos. Why? Because you need Isha Yeshna Mikshira, Yeshna Mikshiva. Because the two Pesukim are written one next to the other in Kriyashma. It says, Kshatim Vos Al Yadecho. Then it says, Uchsavtam al Mezuzos Beisech Vesherecha. So since women are potter from Tfilin, so therefore, the women are possible for writing a mezuzah. So how do you know a woman is possible for writing a sefer Torah or for writing tefillin? Maybe she's only possible for writing a mezuzah. That's all it speaks of in the Chumash, chesavtam al mezuzahs. So the Netziv points out, this is a Netziv at the end of his beer on the Shilkas, the end of Chumash Dvar, one of the last Netziv. So he explains that you see from that Gemara in Gittin from Hamid Beis that Siva, sefer Torah, tefillin, and mezuzah all have the same din. That since women are possible for writing mezuzahs, so who are the Nami the possible for writing sefer Torah and tefillin as well? And it shows other Gemara's also like that. There's some kind of a hekesh existing between Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah. This part of the Netziv you can link that with basically mitzvah. You can say that it's not. This is not a din. One is mekayim and mitzvah is potter on this. You can say one is leig mesasik and a mitzvah. The Rishonim have it. The Rishonim don't seem to hold like the Netziv on this part. But that's what he says. That a hechsher mitzvah kasuv Torah has the status of a semi mitzvah, and he claims a chapta nafkaminim and a geit toisik mitzvah. Then he gives a fourth nafkaminim with respect to nishvah levatulas on mitzvah. The Mishnah has a lashon in Shavuos. The person takes a Shavua, he's not going to like tefillin. The person takes a Shavua, he's not going to sit in silk, he's not going to eat matan pesach man. So the Gemara, the Mishnah says in Shavuos that that's nishba levatelos hamitzvah, and that constitutes a Shavua shav. The Shavua is not binding, it's not valid at all, he doesn't have to have hatara on the Shavua, and he gets malchus for making such a declaration, for taking such a Shavua, because it's called a Shavua shav. Means you're not permitted to take a Shavua Shav. So the Mishnah gives us an example of one who takes a Shavua Shav, a Nishba Levatul Sam Mitzvah. He says, Lulav Sheni Noitel. Okay? Then it says he's not going to eat matzah, he's not going to like tefillin. Then it says, Sukkah Sheni Yoisa. The fellow takes a Shavua, he's not going to make a Sukkah. What kind of law is he not going to make a Sukkah? He says, Sukkah Sheni Yoisa. So the Rambam changes it. And the Rambam quotes the Mishnah. The Rambam gives a different example. He says, Sukkah Sheni Yoisa. But in the Mishnah, it says Sukkah Sheni Yoisa. He paraphrases Mishnah. Maybe that's what it means, I don't know. But the literal reading of the Mishnah is Sukkah Sheni Yoisa. So the Netziv says, yeah, it's good according to this Rashi and Makar Zafes, because Asiyas HaSukkah is called, according to the Drashas Chachamim, on that pasuk, Chag Sukkah Stas Alach. It's a Hechsher Mitzvah Akos about Torah. So therefore it has the status of a semi mitzvah. So that would also be called the Nishvah Levatulah HaMitzvah. Even though, let's say, if a fellow swears that he's not going to buy schach this year, that's not Nishba Levatul Samitzvah. His wife can buy the schach. Someone else can buy the schach. He'll sit in someone else's sukkah. He swears he's not going to buy a pair of tefillin. So he won't buy the tefillin. That's not Nishba Levatul Samitzvah. Someone else can give him the pair of tefillin. He can see to it that he borrows someone's tefillin. That's not Nishba Levatul Samitzvah. But if he swears that he's not going to make the sukkah, means he's not going to put the schach on top of the sukkah, the literal reading of the Mishnah Shavuah says that that's called Nishba Levatul Samitzvah. Why? But there's no mitzvah to put the schach on. The mitzvah is to eat in the sukkah. Mitzvah is to sit in sukkahs, on Yom Tov sukkahs to sit in. But the Netziv says no, the literal reading of the Mishnah is also good. Because the Asiyas HaSukkah is a Hechsher Mitzvah, because about Torah, and it has the status of a mitzvah in a gear too, Nishba Levatul Samitzvah. He can, but he will be losing this mitzvah of Asiyas HaSukkah.
Where is that Mishnah?
The good time? The good time? That's his
finish. And there's going to be this mission
is saying that I all have Hashemitzah. That's why it claims that if you have the ability to do it and you have the time, you shouldn't buy a ready-made talis from the store. You should buy, when the SOI has its tzitzis drive, you should buy the baguette, you should buy the chutzim and tie it on yourself. He says that that's a hechsher mitzvah kosuv b'torah, you should tie it yourself. The person knows how to write mezuzahs. He knows how to write ksav, and he has time. So the proper thing is, l'chatchila, mitzvah b'yetzim b'shluchai, He should write his own. You don't say you should hunt your own animals and you should skin them and you should tan, you should make a parchment out of the leather. If someone else does that, that's okay. You don't say mitzvah yezim b'shluchai on all of those hachanas that are not written in the Torah. But as far as the ksivas ha-mezuzah, as far as the kshiras ha-chutim, as far as tying the strings of the tzitzis, or as far as hanachas ha-schach, these are hachanas ha-kazvater, then we say mitzvah yezim b'shluchai. Of course, the Prima Gvarim says in Hilchas Pesach, by B'dikas Chametz, that when you have a kol mitzvah goyes v'shluchai, we don't require that you should do the entire mitzvah from A to Z. If you do a mikzah, it's also that you're also yes mitzvah goyes v'shluchai. He said by B'dikas Chametz, of course you say mitzvah goyes v'shluchai, you should be b'dik your chametz yourself, but if you can't, then you should appoint a shliach to do it for you. So the Prima Gvarim says, if you can do, let's say, be b'dik one room, and then you have a 25 room home, but the guy have a 48 room home, the Russian embassy, what was that? 48 rooms in their house. So if you voided one room, there's also mitzvah yes mishalyam, you have to be voided all of the rooms. So over here also, by the sukkah, you don't have to, you're not mechuyev mitam, filu mitam the Rashi and Afres, the mitzvah yes mishluchah, you're not mechuyev to put up all of the schach. If you put up a little bit of schach, that's also sufficient. How much is called a little bit of schach? How much is called a little bit? So in Shulchan Aruch they have a klal. There is a machlek, is b'sham and b'silel in the Mishnah, sukkah, daftesim and aleph, whether the Asiyas HaSukkah must be Lishma, in order to be kosher, the Schach must be put up the Shem Mitzvah Sukkah, so Chag Sukkah Stase Loch. So the Shem and Misil both interpret Asiyas HaSukkah, Sukkah Stase Loch. So the Shem and Misil Sukkah Stase Loch L'Shem Choy Vasko, that you have to make the Asiyas HaSukkah, Hanochas HaSach must be L'Shem Mitzvah. So if a Goy puts up the Schach, it will be no good according to the Shem, it has to be put up L'Shem Mitzvah. We don't pass like Bisham, we pass like Bisham, but it doesn't need a Hanocha Lishma. That if a guy puts up the schach, or if a woman puts up the schach, even though women are potter from the mitzvah of Sukkah, and whenever you're potter from something, so then you can't create Lishma. So it doesn't matter because Bisham says you don't need Hanocha Sassach Lishma. You don't need Lishma. What do you do with the word Chakhtik Stasa Lach? What do you do with the word Lach? The Gemara says Lmuti Gzulo. That Schach HaGozel is no good. That's Machlek is Bisham and Bisham. How do you darsh in the word Chakhtik Stasa Lach? What do you do with the word Lach? They still say that loch means that it should be asir lishma, and Bishama say you need asir lishma. They still say no, that it's not necessary. So the Rishonim Aram, that even though they still disagree with Bishama, and they say that a sukkah that's made by a goy is kosher. I remember my father used to have a shul in the Bronx, a big Orthodox shul. A few blocks away was a gigantic conservative shul, a very big conservative shul. So the conservative shul got a new rabbi. And they had the sukkah and the bima inside the shul. So the chazan would say kiddush and the bima inside the shul. So once it happened that the sukkah fell down in the middle of Yom Tov, so the goy, the jamban, who took care of the shul, put up the sukkah again and he put on the schach and everything. So the chazan, who was there for many, many years with the old rabbi, said, "How goy puts up the sukkah? How can it be? It's not kosher. Goy puts up the sukkah." So he asked the new rabbi. So the rabbi said, "It's okay." The new rabbi said, "It's okay. It doesn't matter." So he didn't like that sukkah. How can it be a goy made the sukkah? An oral makes the sukkah. How can it be that it's kosher? So he came to complain to my father. Why my father was the local Orthodox rabbi to say that the sukkah in the conservative shul is no good. And my father asked him, "Where's the sukkah?" So he told him it's on the beam inside the shul. So he said, "It's no good anyway." But he says, no, forget about that, Rabbi. Forget about the beam. It's inside the building. No, I don't know. If a guy makes it, so my father told him it's a Mishnah. He said, "No, if a guy makes it, it's kosher." Couldn't believe it. The chazan couldn't believe it. How can it be a guy makes a sukkah? That's the Gemara. It's machlekes b'sham and b'sil. But they need asiyas hasukkah lishma. If you need asiyas lishma, so goy is daiked in Avshikov. The goy can never make anything that is lishma. The only person who can make something lishma is one who's who's a yeshna b'tayrus. The one who's mechuyev in that mitzvah. The one who's not mechuyev in that mitzvah can't do anything lishma. So the goy doesn't have the mitzvah of sukkah, so he can't make a sukkah lishma. According to Beis Shammai, the sukkah that was made by the goy is taken no good. According to Beis Shammai, shita, the sukkah is not good. But according to Beis Hillel, that's the opinion that we follow Beis Hillel shita. So if a goy makes a sukkah, it is good. Nevertheless, the Rishonim quotes from the Yerushalmi in his book in the Shulchan Aruch that l'chatchila should have asiyas haschach l'shmo. Let's say if the goyim here, usually every year the goyim put up the schach and the shiva sukkah. Even though the goyim put up all the schach, the sukkah will be kosher, but l'chatchila should have the Yisrael put up the schach. So the Rishonim say, how much schach do you have the Yisrael put up? So some Rishonim say it's enough if the Yisrael puts up a tefach al tefach, which is very little, a square of 4 by 4 inches. A tefach by tefach of schach is very little. You have a gigantic sukkah across the street. So the Iker Adin, if the goy puts up the schach, the whole thing is good. So that's the same over here. The mitzvah goy yesim v'shlufay. You should put up the staff yourself. You shouldn't rely on someone else. If you put up a tefah ha-tefah, that'll be enough for this mitzvah.
Mitzvah
goy yesim
v'shlufay.
I mean, if a boy put up the staff, he still should put up seven by seven. There's not. The Gemara in the end of Kiddushin has also an interesting comment that's quoted La'alof and Shulchan Aruch. The Gemara says that a Talmid Chacham, one who's Mamuna Parnas al Tzibur, is not permitted to do Malacha b'Farhesi, is not permitted to do Malacha b'Rabim. For example, I don't know, let's say his house fell down. So the house needs painting on the outside, so he's going to put on his dungarees, and he's going to stand in his undershirt, and he's going to start painting his own house. So it's not nice. It's a design that he should do the work for himself in public. He should get someone else to do the work for him. Or let's say go shopping in public to carry all the stuff. So the Gemara says it's not right. So the Gemara says, however, what happens at Sias HaSukkah? What if he's going to build his own sukkah in public? So the Gemara says, at the end of Kedushin, it's quoted in the Shari Tshuva. And Hilchos Sukkah, I think it's the first Shari Tshuva. The Talmid Chacham is permitted to do the Asiyas HaSukkah even in public. Aye, but he wears his dungarees. He starts banging in nails and he's schlepping schach and so on. They said, that's okay. But since this is a mitzvah, Ledvar mitzvah, this din doesn't apply. This is along the lines of the Nesiv. Since it's the Asiyas HaSukkah, the Hechsha Mitzvah Kasuba Torah, so it has the status of a semi mitzvah, we're going to get to certain halakhas.
Is halakha of the
On Shulchan Aruch they don't distinguish. That's a shaila. Konkan and Tziv's mahalach, it should only be limited to the staff, which is the easier part of it. Yeah. I don't know. It's a tiny, but it says he's allowed to put up the tzvanis. Pashto says he's allowed to put up the tzvanis. I don't know. We mentioned the other day when we were speaking in the yeshiva about the mitzvah k'siva sefer Torah, that in general the klal is whenever the Torah gives a mitzvah or the Torah gives an isur, even if you can figure out what the reason for this mitzvah is, what the reason for the isur is, and in one specific situation the tam mitzvah doesn't apply, you have no right to say that therefore the mitzvah doesn't apply. Here the example, let's say the Torah forbids us from eating pork. Now, we all know that the Rambam writes more in the Wolfram that this is for health purposes because you can get trichinosis. So if you buy your pork in the A&P and it says that if you cook it at such a high degree of such a high heat, then you won't get sick, then it'll kill all the germs or all the worms or whatever there is there. So then there's no chash of trichinosis, then you should be allowed to eat from the whole asura. So the din is not that we say loydashin in time of the krod. Even though we assume we know what the reason for the mitzvah is, we know what the reason for that bear is, and we have a situation where the tama mitzvah doesn't apply. Say loy darshin and time of the brother. Figuring out timing for the mitzvah is not considered one of the midrash alternative dreshes. It's not a drosh. It's important to do it. It's a chesed of Talmud Torah to try to figure out what is the moral or the ethical principle that the Torah is trying to teach us. Whenever you sit the sukkah, whenever you do any mitzvah, you're supposed to figure out what lesson am I supposed to learn from this mitzvah. But if you figure out what the lesson is, you cannot say that that moral or ethical principle should regulate the application of the mitzvah. And whenever the time of mitzvah doesn't apply, then the mitzvah doesn't apply. So it mentioned that the Gemara says in Yevamos and in Sanhedrin and several other places that by Medvar Amurim, when we say that, Lo'ed Arshin Atam Yikro, that the Tam for the mitzvah does not regulate the applicability of the mitzvah, that's when the Tam is not written Mefurish in the Torah. But when the Torah writes the Tam Mefurish, then the Gemara says, Darshin Atam Yikro. Then I say that whenever the reason doesn't apply, then the mitzvah taka doesn't apply. The Gemara and the post can give a few rare instances. From all the 613 mitzvahs, there were less than 10, maybe less than 5, but the Torah has the time of foolish before. So here the Bach, in the beginning of Hilchos Sukkah, comments that regarding Yeshiva Sukkah, he says that Shilin time, the Torah gives the time of foolish in the Chumash. It says, Basukah Steshim Shuas Yomim, Kol Ezdech Misal Yesh Basukah Leman, Yeder Der Asech, and Kibasukah Soshavt Yisbin Yisrael, Bonsi Yosem Yeret Tumsan. The Torah says that the reason for sitting in Sukkah is, Man Yeder Der Asech, and know that everybody should remember that when Bnei Yisrael were leaving Mitzrayim and they were traveling in the Midbar for 40 years, Sukkos HaShavta is Bnei Yisrael. They were living in Sukkos, whatever that means, and there's a Machlokes HaTanaim, whether it refers to Sukkos Mamish or refers to the special heavenly protection that they had due to the Anani HaKovid. So the Bach says that since here we say Darshin and Taima Dikro, the Torah writes the mitzvah, and the Torah says the reason right next to the mitzvah. Man Yeredev Asechem, so here, the reason for the mitzvah is essential for the Kima mitzvah. Whenever the reason won't apply, then the mitzvah won't apply. So the Bach says over here, if a person sits in the sukkah and he doesn't have in mind the Tama mitzvah, he wouldn't be yoytzeh. The Bach had this cloud, based on the Gemara. Whenever the Torah gives a mitzvah, and it gives the Tama of the mitzvah right next to the mitzvah, you have to definitely be mechavim for the Tama mitzvah. If you're not mechavim for the Tama mitzvah, you're not yoytzeh the mitzvah.
All time?
No. Let's say a guy sits in a sukkah for 4 hours. So for 1 moment, for half a minute, he should look up at the sky and have in mind that the sukkah starts after the mitzvah. That's all. So see them having a hirotz, that we say. So it says in the hirotz, it's only the first day. But that's the purpose of the hirotz, in order to have that kapara. Some parts can say that that's bris mila also. It's considered the mitzvah bris mila is considered tam of rish b'kroah. The idea of the bris mila is os bris kodesh. That's why the model and many model are made for that. So it came out of Bris Kodesh before the Jewish Mila that they should have Kavanah for the Tama Mitzvah. Tama Mitzvah being that every Jewish boy should have an Oz Bris on his body. An Oz Bris Kodesh on his body. What is the shear for the Sukkah? So the Gemara has a Machlokes Satanan, how big the Sukkah has to be. The Gemara has three sheets. The Sil sheet is that the Sukkah has to be 6 Tvachim by 6 Tvachim. The Shamashit is that the Sukkah has to be 7 Tvachim by 7 Tvachim, that's what we paskin. This is one of the 6 cases where we paskin like the Shammai. The Mishnah in the beginning of the first Perek in Shabbos gives Yud Ches Dover 18 cases where there was Machlokes B'Shammai B'Silo, and they came to a vote, and on those 18 issues, on that one day that they had the vote, Rabbah B'Shammai Al B'Silo, the B'Shammai with the majority. So the Mishnah says we paskin like B'Shammai in the 18 cases. But then, in addition to the 18 cases, Tesis and Sukkah Dav Gimel and Aleph quotes the Rav Amram Goyen that there were an additional 6 cases where we passed like B'Shammai against B'Silo, even though it's not really recorded black and white anymore, that that's B'Sar. So this is one of them. The B'Silo sheet is that the Sukkah, the minimum size of the Sukkah should be 6 by 6 Tvachim, and B'Shammai sheet is no, has to be 7 Tvachim by 7 Tvachim, we passed like B'Shammai. And then Rebbe has a different sheet that the Sukkah has to be Dalet Amos, like Dalet Amos. That's a different story, because Rebbe holds that the Sukkah has to be Diras Keva B'Inon. And a diras keva has to be dalal amos, like a room in order to be chayv in mezuzah has to have dalal amos al dalal amos, or a house in order to be chayv in ma'akeh has to be a house that's used, so it has to be dalal amos al dalal amos. And the Gemara gives the whole list of dinim where you have to have dalal amos al dalal amos. So according to Rebbe, a sukkah is also considered a regular room, it has to be diras keva, so it has to be dalal amos al dalal amos. But the Gemara says we don't pass one, like that we pass one, that a sukkah has to be a diras aroi. Not only doesn't it have to be a diras keva, if it is a diras keva, it's possible. Gemara says there is a machlekes Rabbi Yehuda in the Rabbanan, the first Mishnah in Sukkot. What if you have the schach lemaila me'esrimam? The schach is so tall, it's above 20 amos from the floor of the sukkah. Let's say if I have a sukkah on top of the roof, and the roof is lemaila me'esrimam, but the schach is within 20 amos to the floor of the sukkah that I'm going to be sitting in, that's okay. Provided the schach is not above 20 amos from the floor of my sukkah, it doesn't mean from the ground level of the earth. Means from the floor of my sukkah. So the first Mishnah in sukkah records the machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim regarding sukkah shehigvah lemaila me'esrimam. Rabbi Yehuda says that it's kosher and the Chachamim says that it's pasul. So the Gemara gives 3 different interpretations for the psul, the point of the Rabbanan. Why did the Rabbanan say that it's not good? So the Gemara gives one time because l'man yeh l'reseichem kiba sukkah so shafti, sounds like the Bach, that when you sit in the sukkah you have to be able to lift your eyes up and see the schach and remember by looking at the schach that Hashem protected Bnei Yisrael when they were traveling in the Midbar, Basukos HaShafti, and the schach is l'mayla me'esrim mamo, l'sholta b'yena. It's so tall, it's so high, you won't be able to see it. Unless the Gemara says it's such a long sukkah, such a sukkah g'dayla, that even if you sit normally like this, and you look straight ahead, you'll be able to see the schach. But it's a small sukkah, the schach is so tall, you won't be able to see it. And then the Gemara gives another time that's the more popular, that's the generally accepted time, that if you make the schach l'mayla me'esrim mamo, it's psula because it's a diras keva. And we pass in the sukkah must be a diras aroi. We pass in that if you make the sukkah diras keva, it's psula, it has to be dafka diras aroi. And Rebbe Shita is punkt vaker. Rebbe and Rebbe Shita is that it's a dafka, the sukkah must be a diras keva. If it's a diras aroi, it's no good. So the halacha of the din is that a sukkah has to be zayin al zayin tzoch. The Gemara says, like B'Shama, the Gemara says that there's really a double machlokes B'Shama B'Sil. The Gemara Dav Gimel and Aleph says the Sukkah, there's a double machlokes B'Shama B'Sil. The Sukkah G'doylo, the Sukkah K'tano. The Sukkah K'tano is a machlokes, what is the minimum size of the Sukkah? Vav al Vav Tvachim, or Zayin al Zayin Tvachim. Vav al Vav is K'dei Rosh and Berubo. Zayin al Zayin is the Rosh Meruba of Vishal Kana. So we pass from like Yeshama that it has to be Zayin al Zayin, Rosh Meruba of Vishal Kana. But then the Gemara says there's another machlek is Bishama Bisul, which is sometimes Nogel Adina for us. What if you have a big sukkah? It's Vaval Vavam, it's 50 amas, 100 amas, it's big enough for sure. It has more than the minimum shear according to all the shikas. But you happen to be sitting in the sukkah, Rosh Meruba of the sukkah, Vishal Kana, Misech Habayis. And the table on which your food is inside the house. That's just, I'm sitting like this. I keep on sticking my fork out to take the food. And I take the food from inside of the house, outside into the soup. I keep on sticking my fork through the window or into the doorway, take the food and sit like this. So that's another machlek is bishan and bisul. So bisul will say, what's wrong? As long as you're sitting in the soup, what if I care if you keep on sticking your hand out of the soup? As long as you're sleeping and you're eating and you're doing everything in the soup, it's okay, you can take the food from the house. And the Shammai say, no, this is Xerah Derabbanan. We're afraid Shema Yimashech Achasudasa. We're afraid that just like the food is over there, so he made me now, he made me Moshe Ruba outside of the soup in order to eat the food. It's a bother to keep on putting the fork in and taking it in like this. So since we're afraid that he made me now, so we don't allow him to sit in the soup. So the Gemara says, these are the two machlekes in the Shammai Bisil. One machlek is Bisukah Gdoilo, and one machlek is Bisukah Tano. Now Bisukah Tano, it's clear from the Gemara. The Tosfos makes it clear from the Gemara that we pass like Bishamai against Beisilo. The minimum size of the sukkah has to be Zayin al Zayin and not Vav al Vav. That's the assumption in the whole parak, the whole Shemar. Nobody even says a word about Vav al Vav. They reject completely Sheet and Beisilo. Our beloved Beisilo has been rejected over here. Pass like Bishamai and Zayin al Zayin. The only Shemar is what the other did. The Machlegis Bisham and Beisilo. That sounds like the Machlegis on a level of their Eisen. But the minimum size of the sukkah is Vav al Vav, Zayin al Zayin. The Pashto says that it's machlekes on the level of the raisa. What's the minimum size of the sukkah? But the other machlekes is bishama b'sil. If you have a sukkah gdoila, but you're sitting rosh v'rudu b'sukkah b'shulchanu b'ser habayis, and that's a machlekes on gzera d'rabbanon, that bishama make the gzera b'sil, don't make the gzera. That's really a big major question. We should work on the machlekes and rishayin and the rib and other bishama. Do we pass them like bishama there as well? Six cases in addition to the Yud Ches Dov, in addition to the 18 cases. We pass like Meshamai in another six cases. And the six cases that we pass like Meshamai, does that include both of the Machlokes in Meshamai Misil, both the Sukkah Gdoila and the Sukkah Ktana, or only Sukkah Ktana? But Sukkah Gdoila, we don't. That's a Shaila in it. So the Maizu were Machlokes. I mentioned before the Gemara derives from the Pasuk, Chag Sukkah Tassalach Shivas Yomim, that the Pasuk is referring to Asiya Sasukkah. Tasa v'lai miho asui refers only to the stock that responds, and the pasuk continues bi'os b'chom b'gornuchom y'ikvecho. The Gemara darshens that also, not that you should celebrate sukkahs at this season of the year and the autumn is the fall time when you're gathering in the stuff, but rather bi'os b'chom means it's a noun, it's not a verb, at the time of the year when you're doing asui, even though it's a noun. But osef shalcho, with the stuff that you gathered in, the schach should be constructed, schach should be made up, should consist of Osef Gorim V'Yekim, Tzolos Gorim V'Yekim. So the more derives from that pasuk, the three conditions for Schach to be kosher. It has to be Gedulei Karka, it has to be something that grew from the ground, it has to be Tolush, has to have been detached from the ground. If you have a sukkah under the tree, so it's and you're using the tree, the branches that are still Mechuber, as the Schach, so it's no good, it's still Mechuber. And thirdly, it has to be Dona Shein of the Kabul Tumah. It cannot be something which is Mechabul Tumah. What's Mechabul Tumah? Ochlin. It has to be Gedulei Karka. You can't use metal, you can't use bricks or stone, and you can't use plastic. And secondly, it has to be Tolush, it has to be detached from the ground. If the branches are still attached to the ground, it's not good. And thirdly, it has to be Dokshen of the Kabul Tumah. And the Pasuk speaks of the Yaslachon, the Gorn of the Yekvech. It doesn't speak of the actual Gorn of the Yekvech. The actual Gorn of the Yekvech, the grain or the fruits or the grapes on the Kabul Tumah. But the soul is going to be the branches or the straw that's left after removing the kernels of grain or the branches after removing the grapes from them. That's what you're supposed to use for the schach. So that's double shame for kabel tumah. Whatever is the kabel tumah is no good for schach. Because the Gemara says for us b'chom the garon hamitzvah means for osef from the garon and the yekiv, not the garon and the yekiv itself. The garon and the yekiv itself is the kernels of grain and the grapes or the wine, the thing that's awful, like the kabel tumah. But the osef gorn v'yekev means the straw that's left after taking out the kernels of grain, or the branches left after ripping off the grapes. So that's gorn v'yekev and kabel tumah. Those are the three conditions for natara that are needed to start to be kosher. So let's say a person takes a bush, some kind of material that grows on a bush, canvas, and he makes a canvas cloth out of it. Oh, so cloth is makalatum. Okay. Canvas cloth is dovah makalatum, it's no good this time. Let's say he has strings that are made from canvas. Let's say he'll have a hemp cord that grew from the ground, and it's gedulah karak, it's tallish, same makalatum. String cord is not makalatum, it's not a beged. Let's say he'll just take such a string and he'll use it as the skach. I'll take chavolim, strings, and use it as chav. So I mean, the Gemara seems to say that it would be good. But the Gemara, the Rambam learns pshat in the Gemara that it's no good for the Rabbanim. Why is it no good for the Rabbanim? Because it's nishtana. Since it's now in a completely different state, it doesn't look like it, its original state, when it grew from the ground, so davish nishtana, it doesn't look like it's gedulei karka anymore. So it's lost its status, but the Rabbanim, when Machmed lost its status as gedulei karka, so it's no good for stuff. However, since this psul is only with the Rabbanon, the Shulchan Aruch quote the Ritvo and the Prima Gadim who have a kula based on this. We have another Gemara. The Gemara says, not only are you not permitted to be misachech b'psulei star, if it's not gedulei karka, if it's still mechuber, or if it's dovah mekabel tume, the Gemara has a machlokes whether you're permitted to be mamed the skach, the dovah mekabel tume, or the non gedulei karka, to have the skach supported and held up by something which is makabel tumah. Let's say I have a metal frame of a sukkah, and I put my skach on top of the metal frame. So the metal is no good. Metal pipes are no good for skach because it's not gedulei karka, it's karka. Metal is karka, but it's not gedulei karka. It doesn't grow from the ground. It is the ground. It's a chunk of earth. It's makabel tumah also, right? The metal pipes would be makabel tumah also. Right? So the metal pipes would be no good on two accounts. Number one, it's makabel tumah, you say. And number two, that it's not gedulei karka. So the Gemara now has the machlekes amoroim. Are you allowed to be mamid ischach on davar hamakabel tumah? So that's a machlekes. So la loche, the rov haposkim hold that it's okay. The Shulchan Aruch says mikra din it's okay, but we're machmer lachatchila not to allow the ischach, not to be mamid ischach on davar hamakabel tumah on psul ischach. Why? That's one opinion in the Gemara in lachatchila b'choshesh for that. Mikra din it's really good, but lachatchila b'choshesh for that. What is the reason for that shita that you're not only not allowed to use davar mekabel tumah for the actual skach, you're not allowed to be mamid with the davar mekabel tumah? So that seems to be a machlokes Rashi and the Ran and Sukkah. Rashi comments that the davar hamamid, that's the ikar of the skach, that's what holds up the whole skach. So if you're mesache, if you're mamid, if you support the skach with davar mekabel tumah, and if you remove that, the whole skach would collapse. So you're making your skach kosher al day psuli skach, so it's no good. So Rashi, the way he describes it, sounds like he holds it. It's a din deraisa. Yosef Engel points out the Rashi. Rashi describes on that Gemara as if that opinion that we're choshish for lahatila were in their eyes.
What if you use the metal to support wood and use the wood to support stock? In other words,
We'll get to it. So the Ran disagrees with Rashi. The Ran's opinion is the one that's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. The Rashi is not quoted. The Ran says on that Gemara that this din of Mamed, even according to the Shita who holds for Mamed, that we're machmalak lahatila, doesn't mean to say that it's really a din deraisa. It's a din derabbanon. It's a xeder derabbanon that you shouldn't be mamid the schach. The davar mekabel tumah, lest you'll be misachek with that stuff itself. So if you use that to support the schach, then you may use it for the actual schach itself. That's why the Ran is quoted by the Ramon Shulchan Aruch is saying that when do you have a chumrah mederabbanon not to be mamid with davar mekabel tumah and so on? That's only if you use, let's say, metal pipes or something like that. Or you use the face. Something that shy to use for skach, so you're not allowed to use it as davar hamamid as haskach. But let's say I have brick walls. I have four apartment houses. And I have a backyard. And I just put the skach from one brick wall to the other brick wall. So what's supporting my skach? Bricks. And bricks are no good for skach. So you're going to tell me that I was mamid my skach, the psule skach, and bricks, so it's no good. Everybody makes a sukkah like that. So the Ran says that that's okay. If you mamid ba'avonim, Mamed skach on stones, or Mamed bilavanim on bricks. And then everybody knows that you're not allowed to use stones or bricks for the roof. That's a house, that's not a sukkah. And since there's no hashash, a shem liyam, and a sachich bo, so there's no tzeh in the rabbah. That's what the Ran says. So in Shulchan Aruch, we pass like the Ran. We assume that this whole idea of Mamed is only a tzeh in the rabbah. It's not a real din. That the davar Mamed is the korah shel sukkah, that since that's holding up the whole sukkah. That too has to have the din of Akshas. We don't accept that Rashi. We follow the Ran's opinion that the whole din of Mamed, that we mach before the Hatzilah, is only a Xerah de Rabban, a Xerah Shema Yavah the Sachet. So it's based on that rod that we have another kula. Not only the kula with the bricks or the stones, we have another kula that if you want to be mamid bischak, it's only possible with the rabbanon. So that would be a gzeira l'gzeira. Not to be mamid bischak is possible with the Torah. It's already a gzeira. You're not allowed to be mamid with metal pipes. Gzeira shemayom l'sachet then. What if I want to? What if I want to have, let's say, strings that grew from the ground? I have strings that are going to the carpet. The other thing is that it's nishtanis. The strings are nishtanis. Or I want to have, let's say, clothesline which is made from the karka cord tied on across the from one dimension of the circuit to the other to hold up my stuff. So the prinugadim, the mishpura goes to prinugadim, and the ritual say that that's okay. Because since the clothesline itself is given to the character, the only psul that it has with schach is only the rabbanon, spanateri can be used with schach. So if you're going to tell me you cannot even be mamid with that, lest they'll use that as schach itself, that constitutes a gzeira l'gzeira. And we don't make a gzeira l'gzeira. That's how the poskim say lo. This is significant sometimes when again to the fancy schach that they have in a lot of places. They have slats of wood that are held together with strings. So the shy is, if you wouldn't have those strings, the whole sock would collapse. The whole thing is held together with thread, with strings. So the shy is, what are the strings made of? So if the strings are made of metal, so metal is dover, metal is non-gedule karka, so sometimes it'll even be dover makabal tumma. So that's a psul skach when not terror. So you're not allowed to use metal to hold together the slats of skach. Mashayna came and said, if you tie the skach together, the stock will be tied together with strings that are gedulei karka, but different kinds of cord. Some cord is gedulei karka, some cord is not. If you have a cord that which is gedulei karka, the only thing is that it's no good for stopping the rabban because it's nishtana. So then the Mishnah Berurah says la'alocha that you can use that for the mamid to hold together your stock.
Isn't there a problem with the mass connected to the cord
that they're in sleep? The Mishnah says in Sukkah that it depends why they were manufactured. If they were manufactured to be rugs or carpets to sit on or to walk on, then it's a kli. That's mekabel tumas nedris, so dava mekabel tumah. The dava mekabel tumah is no good for schach when atir. But if it was specially made for schach, then it's not considered a kli. Then the Mishnah says that it's okay. If it was made, let's say, for Venetian blinds, so then Ramosha has a tshuva. So let's say you have bamboo blinds. So the bamboo itself is dava shen mekabel tumah, even if you make a kli out because it's pshutik. That's not mekabel tumah at all, because it's pshutik liyetz, it's a liyetz. It doesn't have a base kibble, it doesn't have a toe, it's not carved out. You have a wooden spoon that has a depth to it, or you have wooden plates that have depth to them, so that would be considered, or the Dixie cup itself, which is a wooden, a paper cup, which is a wooden kli, so that can contain something, so that's mekabel tumah. But if you have just a Dixie cup spoon that's flat, or you have a flat board that you cut bread on, that's a pshutik liyetz, it's a liyetz that's flat. So that's not mekabel tumah. However, the board that you cut the challah on, that's mekabel tumah with the rabbanon. Tosis says in the Magen Avraham in Hilchos Sukkah, quotes the Tosis in Sukkah Daf Hey, that if you have pshutik liyetz rechovim, if it's a wide piece of wood that you can hold something on, you can put the challah on, you can put something on like a tray, so then it's mekabel tumah with the rabbanon. And not only may you not use dova mekabel tumah min haTorah v'schach min haTorah, if you have done something which is mekabel tumah with the rabbanon, so you're not allowed to use it v'schach with the rabbanon. So let's say such a thing you could use to be mamid the stuff. If you have, let's say, if it turns out a crazy case, you have a challah, you have a breadboard, and you cut bread on it, so that's a pshutik liyetz, it's only mekabel tumah mid the rabbanon, because pshutik liyetz b'chovim, so you could use that to be mamid the stuff. Or let's say if that would break, let's say I had a wooden pot, a big wooden pot that I held pencils in or something, whatever, and then the thing broke. So once it broke, so it's not mekabel tumah anymore. So it's gidulei karka, and it's tolush. That's good for schach and atara. But the Gemara says that with the Rabbanon you're not allowed to use shivrei kelim for schach because of the gzeira. People think if you can use shivrei kelim and it looks like the original kli, you can use the kli itself. So here the pasuk can have the same kula. What if you have a kli which was only mekabel tumah with the Rabbanon in the first place? I let's say a wide breadboard and then I smashed it to little tiny pieces. So now it's a shivrei kelim of a kli which was only mekabel tumah in the first place with the Rabbanon. So there you may use that for schach. That's a That would be a gzera l'gzera if you'd say that even such shivrei kelim you can't use. Well, the poskim are also make, but let's say I have shivrei kelim, let's say I had a regular bed, a mahogany piece of furniture, had a dresser or something. Mamash adobam kalm tumma. It's not a pshutik kleitz, it has a base kibul. And then I smashed it to little bits. So the din is the shivrei kelim may not be used. I have a bed and I broke it to little pieces, a wooden bed and I broke it to pieces, may not be used, shivrei kelim is no good. What happens if I broke it to such tiny particles that it doesn't even look like it ever came from a kli? It looks like a just plain piece of board. So if you broke it to the extent that it's now nishtana, and it doesn't remind you at all of its original state, so then the person will make it as well, because the whole time for the gzera of shivrei kelim may misachech umbari, is gzera shem misachech the kli atzmai, because this looks like the original kli. But if the nishtana doesn't look like the original kli, it just looks like a plain piece of wood. So then there's no gzera of shivrei kelim. It's made for a rock, even though it should be clear, it's a calcium, right? Din of members. So much members, it doesn't have to have the din of base keepers. So again, Rav Moshe has in his tshuva that if you have, let's say, Venetian bamboo blinds, so the fur that the most it can be is shutik le'eitz, and the fur of the pashta shouldn't be in the calcium. Moshe says, however, that if it has cloth strips that connect the pieces together, like over here, so if the cloth is such that it's mekabel tumma, then the whole bamboo is also mekabel tumma. He quotes Mishnayos like that. Mishnayos and Rambam like that. He says, then it will be possible in a Torah, Yitzchak. But if it doesn't have pieces of cloth, strips of cloth on the side to hold it together, it just has string, let's say, so then it's not mekabel tumma because agav the cloth, then the chur is just plain pshutik le'etz. So the Rav Moshe is not sure what the din is. So he's noita lahachmi. He thinks that maybe it's no good. And others on Mekel, they say that it is good. That it's considered dovishen of mekabel tumah. Rav Moshe thinks that it's mekabel tumah with the rabbanon. Others think that it's not.
What's the problem with that normal piece of wood uses cloth? Is it because the Rav Moshe understand it, or maybe
normal piece of wood is good? What's wrong? How, it depends how big the wood is. The Mishnah has exeret the rabbanon. But if Taisa says, why don't you make a? The Mishnah says in Sukkah. You all know who that is?
No.
He's the editor of the R.J. Tijon, Rabbi Cohen. Rabbi Al Cohen. He's a Rebbe in Yeshiva. The Mishnah says that if it rains on Sukkot, it's a simen ra. Like an Eved who wants to serve his master, and he pours a cup of wine and he gives it to the master, and the master takes a cup of wine and he spills it back in the Eved's face. He said, I don't want your service. So when we come, we made a sukkah, we prepare, and then we come to sit in the sukkah, all of a sudden it starts to pour. So it's if the Rebbeinu Shlomo says, don't do me any favors, I don't want your mitzvahs, go home, go back home, don't do me any mitzvahs. That's how the Mishnah describes in the sukkah. The Pesach can say that maybe it only applies in Eretz Yisrael because it's not yet the rainy season. All summer, Mamash doesn't rain. But in other countries where it rains all year long, depending on the clouds, sometimes rain, sometimes doesn't rain, so then it's not necessarily a simen ra. That's what Achrayim says. So Taisus asks on that Mishnah, why is it a simen ra? What do you mean? Why does it say? Why is halacha that if it's raining, you put them in a sukkah? Why is rain a simen ra? Why don't you make a sukkah? Take a piece of wood, a flat piece of wood, let's say on the level of the rice. Mid the rabbanon, they have pshutik le'etz rechavim, so it's mekabel tumah. But it's mekabel tumah the rabbanon. But on the level of the rice, it's not mekabel tumah. So why is this a simen ra on the level of the rabbanon? No. It means on the level of the rice, it's a simen ra. So Kekhtai says, why? Just take yourself a big board of wood and cover over the whole roof of the sukkah with a board of wood. It's gidulei karka, it's tovish, and it's dovishen mekabel tumah. And the Torah, it's pshutik le'etz, it's not mekabel tumah. So why don't you just use a big piece of plywood for the whole schach? Old sale. He lost the meruvah mehamas, 100%. It's old sale. So that's Taisus Chiddush. Taisus on the first daf says that maybe it's possible if it can't rain in. Taisus has a Chiddush. Maybe if it doesn't rain in, it's possible because the Mishnah says if it rains on Sukkot, it's a simera. So why is it a simera? What's so big? Make a roof so it won't rain in. So Taisus says for that Mishnah would appear that if you made a Sukkot and the skach is so thick that it can't rain in, it sounds a little bit that it's possible. That's why should it be possible? So the Pashto says that that's not called Sach, that's called a Tikra, that's called a Bias. The Sukkah means the Chavez, the Diras Aroi. It's not supposed to be such a solid.
Yeah,
those are the Zeres of Abraham. Yeah, based on this din, there's Xera de Rabbanon. That's what you're referring to. The Mishnah has what he's referring to. Xera de Rabbanon of Xeris Neser. Not only not allowed to use one piece of plywood for the whole staff, that the Tesis thinks that maybe that's Pasim and Atera. It has to be, you have to have a little bit of holes there. That it should be able to rein in a little bit, Tesis says. Maybe for the Yebed. Tesis holds it even for the Yebed, the Sukkah's possible if it can't rein in. Other Mishnah disagree. So now the Mishnah even goes further, that you're not even allowed to use separate boards if each one of the boards is 4 tefach wide. That's called Xeris Nesorin. Because in the times of the Mishnah, they used to use such wide boards that were 4 tefach wide to construct houses with them. And you want the sukkah to be nikkur, that it's not a house, not a bayis shekoyimos hashem kula, it's only a sukkah. So you have to use dafke beams or posts that are less than 4 tefach. And then the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Sukkah quotes the Smak, the Sefer Mitzvos Katan, it's one of the Balei HaTesis, who has a further chumash. That although Bizman HaMishnah they only used to construct houses with beams that were 4 tefach wide, whatever was less than 4 tefach wide, there's no Xeris Nesarim, there's no Xeris Tikra on it, because in the times of the Mishnah they never used that for construction. But in the times of the Balei HaTesis in France and Germany, they used to make little bungalows with 2x1s or whatever. They were 2 inches wide or 3 inches wide, wasn't 4 tefach wide. 4 tefach is 15, 16 inches wide, it's a big thing. So the Rishonim say that since Bizman and Balei HaTesis they used to use even narrower slats of wood for constructing their homes, so they made their own chumrah that you shouldn't use such slats of wood either for the schal because of the Xeris Tikra, because it looked like the base of Shekol Hashana Kula. So the guy will start to wonder, what I have to sit in the sukkah? I can sit in my house. It looks the same. Right. So the fashion is that today in our normal homes we never see the beams. If you never see the beams, it never looks like a Tikra. Never looks like Xeris, and some that sound in the Mishnah that if you have a board of wood that's 4 tefach wide, you're not allowed to look like Xeris. That's Xeris Atanan. But the Chumah that the Rishonim introduced, they shouldn't even use smaller beams, and our houses they never see, even if they do build them with wood, they're always covered over with the plaster or the wallpaper or something. You rarely have, you have a bungalow, once in a while you see the wood. But normally you never see the wood. But the Pashtun says we don't observe that bamboo has a base kippur. The Magen Avraham quotes Poskim would say, based on Mishnah, that that doesn't count as a base kippur. It wasn't manufactured bidei Odom with the intention of serving as a base kippur. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes that from the Magen Avraham, from the earlier Achronim, from the Mishnah, is that that's okay. But that doesn't count as a base kippur. The question is, in this din of Mamid, the Shulchan Aruch says that Lachatchila shouldn't be Mamid Ischak on the metal poles, because the metal poles on the kabel tum and it's not going to do the karka and it's possible to schach min atera, so you should be machmir not to be mamad to schach on the metal poles. The yevid mikra din is kosher, but we'll have chilu machmir not to use such a sukkah that you were mamad to schach on psuli schach. So the shaila is, what if you have a mamad to mamad? What if I have a metal frame and then I put, let's say, four poles of slats of wood right on top of each one of the tfanas of the sukkah, and then I put all the stock resting on top of those four poles of wood. So the stock is held up by the four poles of wood, which in turn are held up by the metal bars. So the Shulchan Aruch calls that mamid de mamid. The thing that's holding up the stock is no good to stock. So in the Shulchan Aruch, the classical person say that that's okay. They say based on the Ramban of sukkah that mamid de mamid is okay. The Chazanish in his Sefer on Aruch Chaim Tanya's that they all misread the Ramban. And he quotes here the whole Lashon of the Ramban. And the Pashto says that he's reading it right. The Chazanish is reading it right. That they never said Mamad the Mamad is. The Ramban never said Mamad the Mamad is. We're talking about a different thing. If the floor of the Sukkah is the Gavan Kabbal Tumah, of course that's okay. That's Mamad the Mamad. But the Chazanish Tanya's, it doesn't make sense. What are you going to distinguish? You're going to say the bamboo on top, or the branches on top, are the stock. The four poles on the side are Mamad the stock. And the metal frame is holding up the poles which are holding up the stock. He kind of says the four poles themselves are part of the stock. Four poles themselves, so he kind of says it does make sense if you believe in this institution of Mamad de Mamad, so why do you ever have any problem with Mamad de Mamad? Just put a lot of stock, a thick layer of stock, say that the bottom inch of the stock is the Mamad, and the top inch of the stock is the stock. So there is no such klal. The whole depth of the skach, the whole thickness of the skach, is called skach. It's not called mamad
de
nami. Yes, the original mamad is only possible to Rabbanu, then we're mekel. Right, then between the Gvarim and the Rizwa mekel, but there's no thing of mamad to stop possible. But if the original mamad is metal frame is not good for Natera for two reasons, because it's mekabal tumah, and also because the thing you do with an ore, so then you're not supposed to lahafin, you're supposed to be mamad to stop. Mamad metal frame. So most people are mekel, well, the way it's in the Shulchan Aruch, they put beams, wooden beams, and then they put the stock on top of the beams, and that's in the Mishnah Berurah quotes, in the classical quotes, and that's Mamad Imam. And those who are machmas for the Chazon Ish do it in such a way that they won't have their, they have a wooden beam.
Can you make the port of these slats of wood shalom, and they're only up the stock, shalom shim slats?
Yeah.
In other words, I don't want those to be stopped.
Oh, shalom the shame stock.
I don't want those to be stopped.
Doesn't matter, the whole stock can be shalom the shame stock.
No, I mean, here, doctor, in fact, it's done the thing about it. So these four beams, he wants the stock to be stopped, whatever he puts up on top.
Yeah.
But these beams, doctor, that's one.
Five percent of the
No. So beams are from wood, you know, theoretically. What happened, like, they would nail the beams together with nails. The nails,
the nails don't hold up to
what do you think? He had a regular circle with no roof.
Yeah.
And then outside of that, he had a frame of a wooden frame that was held together with wooden pegs.
Wooden pegs.
No metal. Then he put stuck on the outside frames.
Yeah. My father had a bottle. The president of my father's shul manufactured caskets. Anybody has to make a living? He wanted my father to get him the OU Hashgacha on his caskets. Was that the OU Hashgacha? He was the only one at that time who manufactured wooden caskets with wooden pegs. Biggest chum in the world. According to the Pasuk Mikra, then you can bury a person in a metal casket also. It says on Shulchan Aruch. It says on the Gemara. There's nothing wrong. We have a minhag that we bury in wooden caskets. At Kedei Kaf, you have to have wooden pegs. Chumra, I'll give you chumra. Nah, Mukhi. Nah, the Pashto says it's a big chum. Pardon me? People like to be machmer on things. But the Chazon Ish who has this chumra, has along with this chumra kula. He says that it's only called mamid if the schach is not held up without the davar hamkabel tumah. So take for example, let's say I have a sukkah like this, and my schach, if the schach is so long that it's held up by the tfanos like so, I have wooden tfanos and the schach is held up. The only thing is that I'm afraid the wind is going to blow and the schach is going to fall off. But then let's say I take nails, which are not going to do a character, which are possible stuff in the Torah. I take nails and I nail in the schach to the tfanos to make sure that the wind doesn't blow anymore. So then the Chazon Ish says, that's okay, that's not what mam is, the schach possible. That's not called mamid. Mamid b'schach also means if without the davar mamid I wouldn't have schach at all. But I have the schach. The only thing is, the schach is right now kosher. I want to prevent any psul from creeping into the schach so that he says that that's not mamid. When would it be mamid? If I have schach that's too small to be held up by on top of the tfanis. The tfanis are over here and the schach is going to fall through. So I have the schach over here and then I put in a nail on this side of the drapen to hold the schach up. And if I pull out the nails, the schach will just fall down on the ground. So the Chazon Ish is going, that's the only case that it's called mamid to stop falling. But if the schach is sitting on top anyway, and I just add the davar hapasul in order to make sure that it doesn't fly away, the schach doesn't wave in the wind and becomes chamas and merubah, or doesn't fall down on the floor, so he's mako, that kula is against the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan says the Feresh that that's not good. Shulchan Aruch says if you have all of your schach sitting properly on top of the sukkah, and you're afraid that the wind is going to blow it away, and then you take a big ladder, you put the ladder sideways, diagonally on the schach to make sure that nothing falls away. So we're machmir that that's called mamid b'schach pasul, because it's a shayla. Maybe a ladder is in kabbal tumah. It's a shayla in the Rishonim.
And if the latter is Makabal Tumas, then you're being Mamed Yischach, but Dabah HaMakabal Tumas. Why are you Mamed Yischach? The Yischach was there already. The latter is just placed on top of the Yischach to weigh it down, that it won't become Nifstah. So the Shulchan Aruch doesn't hold like that. The Shulchan Aruch has a Chumra in here. And that too is called Mamed. And the Chazanish disagrees, he claims that this is not called Mamed. So although he has a Chumra, he throws in a Kula as well.
Does it make a difference whether the metal would touch the Mamed or not? Does that make a difference? The second Mamed, does it make a difference whether the metal would touch it?
What do you mean, touch it?
Like sometimes the canvas, which...
The canvas is not strong enough to hold up the scarf. The scarf is very held up by the metal.
No, that doesn't work.
Even according to the Paschim who are making a Mamed de Mamed, they're still called the Mamed. It's not called Mamed.
Why is that called?
He says, what if you have the canvas walls are covering up the metal frame on top?
Right.
So the thing is, it doesn't help. First of all, the canvas is Mekabel Tuma also. Canvas is double Mekabel Tuma.
That's
all
you have on it, though.
Isn't canvas a cloth? What? Isn't Mekabel
Tuma
even if you have some synthetic material, let's say, it's also possible this book is soft because it's not going to be the karka. The thing is, it has to be held up by the mom and the mom. But over here, if you just cover up the mom, that doesn't make any difference.
I have some question with Chazanish. So do you have wooden boards on top of the metal? Between the metal and the boards, if you have boards on top of the metal, and it's not on top of the boards, if you have a cloth, you
have a metal frame. I have a metal frame, and then I have a cloth, and then boards on the top. Some Paschim are mistakic about that. Just like the Rambam learns in the Gemara, that if you have string that grew from the ground, even though it's not Mekabel Tumah, you shouldn't use it for Schach, because it's Mishtaneh. So some say that maybe painted Schach also shouldn't be used. If you just shellacked it and it repainted the original color, you painted it with it in, a clear thing, that's not Mishtaneh. But if you painted it in a different color, so then some Paschim say that that's also called Mishtaneh. Because in Bava Kamma, that's called the Shinui for a Ganav. If a Ganav steals a piece of furniture and he paints it a different color, the Mishnah says that's called the Shinui. So some Paschim want to say that you shouldn't use painted Schach for a Sukkot, because it's also called Mishtaneh. The Shailah in Paschim.
What about, let's say, in the context of the, or things like that, things like metal or things like that, in the
Schach? Yeah, why do you put the thumbtacks in?
Decorations.
That's okay.
Even though the Schach now has metal on it.
No, thumbtacks don't cost them. Scotch is not. No, the shine is if you put in thumbtacks to hold up the scotch, and if you take out the thumbtack, the scotch will fall down, or the scotch will become fossil because you move around. That's called, that's a shadow of mamet. And you can get in mamet, the scotch fossil. The Gemara says that the scotch has to be some of the tfanis. How many tfanis do you have to have? So the din is you have to have three defanos. The din is shtayim kilchasim ashlishis hafilu. Tefach shtayim kilchasim means an L shape. You have to have at least two walls. Each one is 7 tefachim long over here, an L shape. And then the third one has to be a tefach, but it has to be placed at such a distance from the other one. And then you have to have a tzuras ha-pesach in between. It's a big complicated mess. So that's why the Rambam says in Shulchan Aruch, as a minig, we never get involved in that. We never have a sukkah. We don't allow a sukkah shtayim kilchasim ashlishis hafilu tefach. Is that a piece of chalk? No. The puzzle means like this. If you have an L-shaped sukkah, and then you add on the third doifen over here, and you need a tzuras ha-pesach between this little bit of the wall and the bottom of the wall over here. So because it's a big tirchen, it's a big shal, it's one of the kashim, one puzzle, so the Rambam said you shouldn't get involved in that. You should have gimel defana shlemas. You should have three full walls without any shalas. Three full walls, you can have an opening in the wall also. You can have an entrance way to walk into the wall. However, the entrance way should still be oimid v'rub ala parim. The Igarat Din Shtayim Kilchas and Kilchas means an L shape. Shlishas Hafilu Tefach, you don't put it over here. Shlishas Hafilu Tefach, this has to be 7 tefachim, minimum. This has to be 7 tefachim wall. And then you can have one tefach over here, and then put a Tzuris HaPesach in here. That's a big tircha. A big pain in the neck to have like that. That's why the Rambam says you have all three shleimos. Solve all the problems. Now the shleimos,
So you should have the four. But also, but the meaning is you have to have at least three shlemes. So now the shulchan is about to have an opening in order to walk in. You have a doorway here. But that's okay. But you should think of it that you should have five and merubah al paris. Let's say this is going to be, this will be 10 tefachim, this will be 10 tefachim, this will be 5 tefachim the opening. So that's okay. You have 20 tefachim standing and 5 tefachim missing. But if you have the whole length of the thing is 25 tefachim, then you have the opening in the middle is 15 tefachim. The whole opening is 15 tefachim. And then you only have five over here and five over here. So you have parat merubah al ha'emes, so then it's no good. Then the sukkah will only be kosher when the door is closed. When the door is open, so the sukkah is no good. And you won't be allowed to close the door on Shabbos and Yom Tov, because when you close the door on Shabbos and Yom Tov, you're being makshir your sukkah. You're making the Gemara on Shabbos and you're creating the sukkah. It's an issue. It's an even if you have a tzuris ha'pesach is no good for sukkah. Tzuris ha'pesach is good for Shabbos. Two conditions, it has to be less than 10 amis. It has to be oimid merubah laparas, and I think there's a third condition, you got to look in Shulchan Aruch, it's not so flush. That the opening should not be flush with the wall over here. I think that's a thing. Let's say I have a sukkah that goes like this. Then I have stach on top. So I think the Shulchan Aruch says, based on Gemara, that that's not good. I think you have to have a bit of a wall.
How much is that
I don't remember, you got to look in Shulchan Aruch.
So you have to have three full walls, so you can have four walls.
So you just disregard that. But you have to have three full walls. So now there's a din that the fanos have to be touching the sas. Fanos have to be touching. It doesn't necessarily have to touch. It has to be within three tefachim. Within three tefachim of the sas, and I say lower. It means it has to be within three tefachim this way, not sideways. I have the fanos over here. The schach doesn't reach. If the schach, this is a very common shayla. You buy schach and you don't have enough. So the people sit in the middle of the sukkah, so they put the schach thick over there. And then around the edges, they have empty space. If you have empty space, sometimes it can be big for the Jews. If you have a half stick of sweet tefachim, if you have a half stick of sweet tefachim, and you can't say lovewood, so you define it and not mitzvah to the schach. So the whole sukkah is no good. The whole sukkah will be no good in such a case. Rabbi Albert has a person whom he knows personally from his neighborhood, I think. So he's on a call from an Eresha line. He has the book that left him twice. Then at the top. The din that the schach has to be within three tefachim to the fanos means sideways. So if you have fanos over here, the schach has to be within three tefachim. But the other way, the lamayla, there is no such thing. Let's say I have this fanos over here and the schach is way up there. As long as the schach is directly above, then I say good as the mechitzah. The mechitzahs are over here. Allah says I can extend them. Imagine if I extend them straight up, then the sukkah will be kosher. And the din of Burak is also. The fanas do not have to be touching the ground. However, the Gemara says if the fanas are suspended above three tefachim above the ground, then the sukkah is no good. The fanas must begin with three tefachim to the ground. Once they begin with three tefachim to the ground and they have to go at least 10 tefachim tall, then they don't necessarily have to reach all the way to the top. Shana the Shulchan Aruch is like this. What happens if you have, it's a very common shayla. What happens if you have the fanas that don't reach all the way up to the schach, but the schach doesn't go directly above the tfanas. The schach is over here. So if the tfanas would have been all the way up, then the schach would have been within three tefachim of the day. But the tfanas don't go all the way up. You have to say, good achis mechitzah, to visualize as if your daifin the sukkah is going further up than it really does go. And then you're saying that the schach is within lovely to that imaginary line that you're drawing up. So the Shulchan Aruch says that that's okay. You even say both at the same spot. You say, good achis You say good asif mechitza, he visualizes if the daven is going up, and he also visualizes if the schach was touching the daven at that point where it's going up. If Kiveger on the side of the Shulchan Aruch has a taina, that according to the Ran, this should be no good. He claims based on the Ran, this should be no good. He doesn't understand why the Shulchan Aruch said that it's good if the Ran holds that it's no good. Some later posts can claim that it's not true, that the Ran never said it, the Ran said a different thing. And other than Machmer for Rabbi Kiveger, this is a very common shadow, that the Tfanas don't touch all the way up. And the staff doesn't go over the spot that the Tfanas would have bumped into it, even if the Tfanas would have gone all the way up. There is another din in Sukkah that you have to know, din of Doif and Akum. The din is that the Tfanas don't necessarily have to be touching the Schach kosher at the edge. Let's say I have a Sukkah. Let's say I have a Sukkah in the courtyard of a building. And let's say there's a ledge over the building that sticks out a few inches. And the ledge is Schach Pasul. The ledge is bricks, the stone, whatever, cement, concrete, just like the ledge over there. So the part of the Sukkah that's constructed, the part of the Sukkah that's constructed on top of your Tfanas below the ledge is not kosher to sit under that, because you have a regular roof on top that's possible. So what you'll have is, let's say, looking from the roof, you'll have such a Sukkah. You have a ledge over here and a ledge over here. So the stuff under that will be no good. So only the stuff over here will be good. So your Doifen is over here. There's one Doifen, here's another Doifen. Here's the third Doifen, and there's one Doifen. And the stuff doesn't begin to land. So let's say there's a big hefsek of more than 3 tefachim. In between the point where the staff begins to be kosher, because the staff that's under the ledge, although it's kosher staff, but it's not good because it's staff lamatam and abayis, like in the conservative synagogue. The staff under the roof, so it's not good. So you have a daven over here and you have a hafsak of more than 3 tefachim before your staff kosher begins. So the Gemara has a twist and the Gemara says that's good. When is the halacha that staff? When is the halacha that the staff has to be within 3 tefachim to the tefanis in order to say lavud? The staff should be contiguous and touching the tefanis al kibin. That's only if there's avir, if there's empty space over there. But if you have no empty space, you have schach. The whole sukkah is covered with schach, except that the schach on the edges is schach puzzle. Why is it schach puzzle? Because it's schach shetachas habayis. So if it's schach puzzle, then the din is that up until dalet amos, that's an awful lot, up until a hafsok of dalet amos, we would allow doifen akuma. Why? We consider it as if the doifen, the walls of the sukkah go like this, and then sideways, up until dalet 4 amos. Then the wall of the sukkah goes up, and it falls up until dalet amos, and then the schach begins over here. Here's my schach. So the halachas are that good, but if it's more than dalet amos, if you have more of a hefsek than dalet amos, then it's not good. This is important sometimes. I visited one of the fancy shuls downtown a couple of years ago on a Chalamite sukkahs, and we saw that the sukkah wasn't good. They had a big sukkah there. The sukkah was mamish pasim and atayr, because they had a sukkah, they had a roof on top of it to protect it. And then when the people ate in the sukkah, so they opened up the roof. So if they have a lot of people, so they will open up both rooms. They only have a few people, so they only set up a table on one side, and they left the other roof closed. And because the other roof was closed, that the wall on that side wasn't mitzuruf to the schach, because the hafsaka was more than dalet amos away. And the way the sukkah was constructed, they needed that wall. Without that wall, the sukkah wouldn't be gush.
What, 3 other walls?
Okay. All you need are 3 walls for the sukkah.
Right.
The fourth wall, you don't
need. That's
okay. Yeah, the din is you just can't sit under, you can't sit under the schach pasul. That's okay. But if you have 3 walls, each of the 3 walls are within 4 amos to the schach kosher, and in between the schach kosher and the walls, you have schach pasul. You don't have just plain empty abba, you have schach pasul. Then it's okay. However, here's where the Ran does speak. Now the Ran takes over.
Just on the other side of the sukkah, so even if this is covered up,
Now the Ran does say something. Now the Ran says the Farish on this case. A lot of times people construct sukkahs and they don't have the Tfanas is going all the way up to the sky. So the Gemara says that that's okay. They can say good achzik mechitza. Once you have the mechitza starts within, the Tfanas start within 3 tefachim to the ground, and they go up 10 tefachim tall, so even though they don't reach the sky, I visualize as if I stretch it out. Good achzik mechitza is as if I stretch up the mechitza and it extends. But now the Ran says, however, what if I have the Tfanas that don't reach up to the schach. And even when the schach does begin on top, I have schach pasul on the side. Let's say I have a ledge on top. I have some kind of schach pasul above it. Even though I have all schach kosher, but that part of the schach kosher that's below the schach pasul is also counted as schach pasul. If it's less than 3 drachmas, I say love, it is good. What happens if it's more than 3 drachmas here? You have to rely on the Tanakhuma. So the Ram says this, you're not allowed to say. That you're going to say good, astik, mechitzta, and a doitan akuma, that doesn't work. That's the Ram says. That the Ram says the favor should not work. And Rabbi Kivegar extended that Ram. Rabbi Kivegar said that just like the Ram says, you don't say good, astik, in order to say a doitan akuma, you can't say two halachs, one notion of sinai, behadodi, behadi hadodi, together to combine. Rabbi Kivegar wants to extend it to say hu adiname, if you have the situation where the farmers don't touch all the way up to the top, to the staff, and the staff is a little bit to the side, so you're going to have to say good asik with a logwood. And the Kibbeg thought that that's the same as the Ramskin, just like good asik with a leifan kum is not good, the good asik with a logwood is also not good. Some are friends tightly, that's not right. That even the Ram who is machmer only said it by leifan kum. The Ram's just saying, how can you say that that's a leifan kum? A leifan kum is if the wall continues to go up and then it bends over. And I say the whole thing is a leifan kum. But if the wall doesn't even go up so high, we'll go till here. Then it has soft puzzle over here. How can you declare with your wildest imagination that this is a doitan akum, a crooked wall? How's it a crooked wall? The wall ended over here. It doesn't even continue. How can you apply the din? That's what the Ran meant to say. The Ran, some of want to say the Ran didn't mean to say trei hilchas of bahadi hadodi ilayam. You know? That you can't say two halachas lomashim sinai if each one needs the other one. He just meant to say, how can you call this a doitan akum if it's not continuous? If the schach puzzle is here, the doitan doesn't even reach it. So that's not a doitan akum. The Ramah quotes a din in Shulchan Aruch that a lot of people never heard of and people violate all the time. The Ramah quotes a din that when you construct the Yisuf, you have to put up first the Defanis and then the Sfah. Because we have a din of Tasav Ulam in Ha'osui, that the Asiyah Tastah Afkach should be Makshah the Sukkah. So if you have a Defanis, if you put on first Sfah, and the Sukkah is not Kosher until you have your 3 Defanis later, then your Sukkah becomes Kosher by making the Defanis. And at the time you made the Sfah, the time you put the Sfah on, the Sukkah was not yet Kosher. So the Ramah says that that's Achshash Psul of Tasev Elamin Hosev. The people who put up the Sfah before they put up the Tfanis, Achshash of Tasev Elamin Hosev. So the Ramah says this as a Zahiris L'chadchila, the Shaila, what if B'dievid, what if somebody has a Sukkah that was made like that and he didn't know that the Din is that it's no good. Would the Din state that it's really possible B'dievid? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Machlech Gesachorim that it is possible B'dievid as well. So he says that the Bach holds that it is not Bach, Mogen Avram, Shaila say it is not possible B'dievid. Yeah. If you pick it up at Tefach and you lower it down, then it's good. Whenever you have staff that's Tasav Lemon Osi, you just lay a Tefach, pick it up at Tefach and put it down, then it's good. Tefach is 4 inches. But if you didn't, let's say you have the Sukkah the way it is now, is it Kasha B'dievid? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes it as if it's a... Mishnah Berurah quotes Machloek Zachreinim. He presents it as if the Rov HaAchronim Anota Lahachmir. The way the Mishnah Berurah presents it, he assumes that the Rov HaAchronim HaMachma hold that it's possible B'dievid. And others say that it's not true. There are Hashor who laughs off the whole thing. He says the whole thing is only a Zahiris L'chatchila, and it definitely doesn't pass the B'dieb. But L'chatchila, there is a din like that. Many people violate that L'chatchila. A lot of times it turns out that it's easier to put the Schach up before the Tfanis. You should keep this in mind, that you're not supposed to do it like that. There is another din in Shulchan Aruch in the Gemara that people don't know. Din is that the Tfanis have to be sturdy to the extent Shaloh Yisnad in Dur B'ruach Mitzuyah, that they shouldn't blow in the wind. And then it says the Beirish in the Shulchan Aruch that even if your schach is in, even if your sukkah is in the backyard and there's no wind blowing at all, you have to measure this din by what the ruach and sukkah would be if there weren't any walls in. Or even the cooler, let's say, a fellow is on the ocean and he makes a sukkah on top of a boat and there the winds blow, there are bigger winds that blow, so the Gemara says you measure by the ruach and sukkah by Yabosha, you don't measure by the ruach and sukkah Shabbayah. So what is? It falls down. Different problem. If there happens to be no wind today, but normally it's very windy, and the normal wind on the yam would have caused the tfanis to wave. But by Abasha, the normal wind would not cause it to wave. So the Gemara says that we kaveh the din is based on the ruach and tsuya shebay Abasha. So the question is, what does this mean exactly? If you have the tfanis of the din of the Shabbos by Mechitzes, and it's a din in the tfanis of the Sukkah, that if the tfanis wave in the wind, so it's no good, what does that mean? So the Chazanish has a gewaltige kula that nobody before him ever heard of. All the Poskim assume that it's not true. Chazanish says that it's only possible, the Sukkah is only possible, or the Mechitzes is only no good for Shabbos purposes, if the wind will cause it to wave so much that it will not have the Hechsha Deifen and the Hechsha Mechitzes. That it will wave so much, it will wave up, it will flap up from the ground, it won't be within 3 tefachim to the ground, or the mechitzah will not be 10 tefachim tall. Well, let's say you have a canvas sukkah and the wind will blow and blow and blow, and it's still going to be the Hashem sukkah. So it'll blow, so what? So the canvas will blow like this. And the Israeli army, when they have to make an Erev quickly on Erev Shabbos, so they use nets. It seems that soldiers always travel with nets. So they hang up nets on poles, and the net hangs to the ground. And then when the wind blows, the nets are very long. When the wind blows, the net blows like this. Then it blows some more, the net goes like this. It blows some more. It's still going to be 10 spachim tall. So crooked mechitza is also good mechitza. And then make it based on the chazanish. The chazanish, the wind can hop and pop, and it still doesn't blow down the air. It's still a good air. As long as it's 10 spachim tall, and it's lovely, so you have good air. That's the chazanish's cooler. Chazanish is make it by sukkah and by Shabbos. But the classical poskim, Mishnah Brewer, with the Racha Shulchan, and all those before them, and in between them, and after them, and during them, they're all content. Everybody else assumes that stuff. Pashtus and the Shulchan Aruch, the way the Pashtim understood that Gemara is that if the wind blows the thing back and forth, it's already no good, even while it's blowing, it still has the Hefshus. It's still no good. So the Shaila is, but everything blows a little bit. The wind blows, everything is going to shake a little bit. So a little bit of shaking we do allow. So the Shaila is, how much shaking do you allow and how much shaking do you not allow? This is our Shaila. But if you have, let's say, a canvas, let's say you have a canvas sukkah and it's not tied down well, the wind is going to cause the thing to flap a lot, then you have a zero shadow, you still can make it both. In fact, the Shulchan Aruch, they quote a chumra from the Rabbeinu Peretz, that you shouldn't use cloth as the fondness of the sukkah, even if you tied it down very well, even though you tied it down very tightly, because we're afraid that cloth can always get untied, and the wind will easily blow the cloth. You should always have sturdy the fondness for the sukkah. Shabbos in America, and now in Israel, today, in our generation, it's a common practice that everybody uses these canvas, the fanas for this. So Shabbos, why are we make them? It's really against the Shulchan Aruch, why we make them today. Rabbi Menashe Klein has a truth about this. Why doesn't it? Based on the Chazanish. Not always. If it's unties on the bottom, the wind can flap it to the extent that it won't be within 3 feet off the ground.
So you tie it down at the bottom.
But the Rabbeinu Peretz says, your machmir, even if you tie it down, we're afraid that it may get loose. And the wind may blow it, and you'll be in the middle of eating, you won't realize that
you're something. Doesn't hold flat, and
the Chazanish holds
flat,
and
it might come loose.
Yeah, that's the Chumra and Shulchan Aruch. Chazanish says a different word. What's the Ikar Adin? He doesn't talk about the Chumra of the Rabbeinu Peretz, not the Dula Hashem. He talks about the Yevon. What's the din when it's really possible? He says the only time it's possible is if the wind blew it so much it no longer has the hefshe doyfen.
Right, so let's say it's tied on the bottom. Why could you make it?
The Iker HaDin would be good, but the Rabbeinu Peretz has the chumra that you're not allowed to rely on tying it down because you may not tie it down well enough. Maybe tie it down now and then the wind will loosen the knot and then you'll have a possible sukkah without realizing it. So the shaila is why we violate this l'chatzila. A lot of people, many people violate this din l'chatzila.
Even if the ruach would, the ruach for sure won't be enough to open the knot.
That's what the Rabbeinu Peretz says. Even though you tied it so well that the ruach mitzui will not untie the knot,
so what's
the hatchilah you should do?
What's the difference between tying it down for your regular
side? Rabbeinu Peretz says you should have solid walls. You shouldn't have cloth. Okay.
I understand, but if you have solid walls, the wind is blowing.
He said that we're not choshish, the wind is going to blow those. But a cloth wall, that you choshish, the wind is going to untie the knots and the thing's going to start to flatten it. That's the chumra of the Rabbeinu Peretz. And today, many people don't observe that chumra. It's a problem. Why?
So what's the idea, sir?
Sturdy wall. You have three sturdy walls. And the star should be touching, and the star should be wooden walls, right? The star should be resting on the wooden wall. Sock should be touching the wall, they're within 3 feet into the wall. Otherwise, you have to start and have real showers. A lot of sukkahs are really possible. A lot of sukkahs are really possible according to the Shulchan Aruch. Leave that aside. A lot of sukkahs are really possible inside each other. Yeah, they say from Moshe that as long as it doesn't move 3 feet from the where the straight line would have been, from the imaginary line where it should have been, that it's open. Others give the more chumra de gishu. Others say one type, the problem. I wanted to rush through some of the dinim of lulav and esrog that people are not too familiar with.
What about in the sukkah?
The Gemara says there is a chiyuv feet in sukkah and shmini atzeres of bnei chutz l'aretz, but the Gemara says you don't say a bracha. Rishonim give different interpretations why no bracha is recited. Usually we do say a bracha in yom tov shenish olgois. Why don't we say a bracha here? So based on some of their interpretations, the Machronim claim that those who live in a cold climate, and by going out to sit in the sukkah, it'll be nikkur,
that they're observing in the sukkah. It's not some that it's a nice sunny day and they want to sit, want to have a picnic outside. It's a little bit chilly in your climate, and it's nikah that you're doing at the shei mitzvah. So some person say, based on the fact that the Gemara says no bracha, some person say that those who live in cold climates are not allowed to sit in sukkah and shmir etzem. That's what the Korban Nisanal says on sukkah, and the Aruch HaShulchan says like that. That those who live in Medina Tachkaras are not allowed to sit in sukkah. The Shulchan Aruch quotes Mikra Adin Yisei Bracha whenever you go into the sukkah to stay for a while. So let's say you're going to have a sandwich and run away, but the sandwich is going to be fast, so then you have to say Bracha not at all. So Mikra Adin Yisei Bracha whenever you sit in the sukkah. Then the Rishonim have a mimic from the Maharam Luchenberg that you only say Bracha when you eat a meal. In time, it's 7 minutes. You only say Bracha when you eat a meal. So in the middle, let's say a guy just eats, he's going to go into the sukkah, eat cake, and then he's going to leave. I visit someone else's sukkah, have tea and cake, and I go away. So then according to the way it says the Shulchan Aruch, he wouldn't say a bracha. But the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Chai Yodam that the Medbar Mamurim, see the Chai Yodam didn't like the whole thing. Because the Vilna Gaon says it's not right. What do you mean you have a meaning not to say a bracha unless you're eating a meal? The din is you always say a bracha. When you go into the sukkah, so you say a bracha. What do you mean you have a meaning not to say a bracha? That's not a meaning not to observe what you do. So the Vilna Gaon didn't follow that meaning. So the Chai Yodam was a mechutna of the Vilna Gaon. He says that even though we follow that meaning, he thinks we should change it a little bit. That the Nedram Amurim, when do you say you only say the bracha leishu basuk when you're eating a meal? That's, let's say like this, if I come home from shul, and I'm going to learn for 3 hours, and then I'm going to eat. Or let's say I'm going to go to the sukkah to do homework, and then I'm going to have supper then, 3 hours later. So I shouldn't say the bracha now, I should say the bracha 3 hours later, when I begin to eat. I should say it's hamoiti and then leishu basuk. But if I'm going to sit in the sukkah for 4 hours, and I'm just going to do a reading, or learning, a homework or something, and I'm not going to, I'm just going to sit in someone's sukkah for half an hour, have tea and cake, and then leave. I'm not going to have any suda. But then you can't say, well, the meaning is to save up the bracha for later. You're not going to have any later. Then the Chayyadim said, the proper thing is you should say the bracha later, you should now. So that's what the Chayyadim said. So a lot of big lomdim are going like that. Balabatim don't do like that. The lomdim do like that. The people in Litvish, lomdim usually do like that. So Mishnah Berurah quotes, the Chayyadim doesn't like the whole meaning, the chlal, not to say bracha, unless you're having a suda. So the lomdim do like that. If they're going to sit in sukkah without any cake, and sit in sukkah and they're not going to hear any tzuda in this sitting, in this session, then they say leishu basuk when they walk into the sukkah. Right on.
Suppose leishu basuk, say it's raining, you're just not supposed to go into the sukkah, period. You're supposed to go in,
let's say,
in Kiddush, I come and sit in the first 2 nights.
And then vanish. In the first 2 nights of sukkah, the first night of sukkah. And again, if it's raining, you just eat kazayas. Make Kiddush, you eat kazayas. Some way to have those and some not. You bench in home and you finish eating. And that's either kazayas. You just make kiddush eating kazayas because you don't feel lazy. And then you finish the meal at home. You bench in home. Not going to rain much. The Torah says that the lulav and the yesrik have to be held in two different hands. So the Beis Yosef quotes, we showed him that this is the kpedah. A lot of times, halal, they hold the lulav and the yesrik in the right hand, they hold the maps, they hold the siddur in the left hand. When you go with hashinus also, nobody knows hashinus by heart. So usually people hold the siddur in the left hand, they hold the lulav and the yesrik in the right hand. So the Beis Yosef in the Magen Avraham quote, we showed him who makpid about this, that the daf, you should hold them in two different hands. Kabbalah, whatever, but the Gemara, it's mashman the Gemara like that. The lulav should be held in the right hand because it has three parts of the mitzvah, three quarters of the mitzvah, and the yesrik should be held in the left hand. The guy, the lefty, is also a machlekes and shulchan aruch. What's the dinis? And normally, what's the difference? Right hand, left hand, but the Magen Avraham quotes the Rabbeinu Chananel over here that if a person holds the lulav in the left hand and the yesrik in the right hand, so he's not going to the mitzvah of the yesrik. The Gemara says, if you held it to hikup, so you're not going to the mitzvah. The Rashi says the hafakha, you held everything upside down, so you're not yetzim because you need to derek and you lost some. And the Rabbeinu Chananel says hafakha, if you held the lulav in the left hand and the esrog in the right hand, you're not yetzim to the yetzim. So this is already a crucial shaila. The guy's a lefty, which hand is he supposed to hold the lulav in? So that's why the later part we say, maybe you should be mocked and take twice. The guy's a lefty, take the lulav in the left hand and then take the lulav in the right hand. So this is another kpeda. Like the dafke, you should always try to hold the lulav and the yesrog in the both hands. So you have a bit of a problem. Okay? When you go hashinus, you have to hold like this. You have to hold with the lulav in the right hand, the yesrog in the left hand, and the siddur like this. Or listen, let the chazan say out loud, listen to the chazan say the hashinus like that. The bridge. Rabbi Gerard told us that he remembers the bridge. We only had one little bit of Estrig, couldn't afford it, it's not like in the convention in America. So the Chazan had a little bit of Estrig, and he would go around HaKokis, and then one of the Balabatim would walk backwards in front of the Chazan and hold the Nacht, so that he should be able to say the Hashanah. Not that he shouldn't have to hold the Nacht. To have his both hands free, mm-hmm. Hold the lulav in the one hand and the estrog in the other hand. The whole halal was just when you do the nanu.
What is the
also, regarding lefty is a machlek is what you do. So the first time you do it, you do it the way the rova pasim hold. You hold the lefty, you should hold the lulav in the left hand and the estrog in the